Good morning. Everybody doing good? Are y'all alive out there? Man, the time hadn't even changed or anything weird like that. Kind of funky this morning, huh? We need to wake it up. Wake it up. I figured with that song Trevor sang, that the Astros won. They sure did. They sure did. We're glad for Houston, aren't we? Glad for that city, needs something to be encouraged about. Glad that you're with us this morning. Hope you really and truly, I hope you feel the love of Christ in this place, and I hope you feel His Spirit. And what Billy was shared with about the children's event, it's like God is a big God. He can stir us at any moment, at any time. So glad that you're here this morning. If you are visiting with us, really especially glad that you're here. Hope you feel welcome here. Hope you feel like this is a place that you could belong and be a part of the Wiley Methodist family. There's a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you. Invite you to fill that out. You're not required to do that by any means, but would love for you to be able to fill that out and let us know that you were here. You can add your email address there and check the box if you'd like to be added to our email list. I want a word about the email. It's been about 3 or 4 weeks ago. I've been having trouble with my email, and I switched to a different type program that's designed for kind of mass emailing. We have like 300 or so different people on our email list. So one of the things I found out is this new system, your email may recognize it as spam. I've been called a lot of things, but anyway, now my emails are spam. So if you haven't been getting my email the last couple of weeks, check your trash folder, check your spam folder, your junk folder, and make sure that it hasn't been sending to that. So just kind of try to help me get the word out on that, because I can't notify people through email, because I'll explain it to you later, Billy. Kind of a complicated process. So Matthew 22, man, you guys are going to have to perk up. I don't know what in the world I'm going to have to do. Let's sing that song one more time, Trevor. Now, where's Trevor at? Trevor's going, no. He hadn't caught his breath from the last time. Matthew 22, this is in verse 34. This is what we have come to know as the Great Commandment. I love this. It's not a suggestion. God, through Christ, he doesn't say for us to consider this, but it's called the Great Commandment. So in verse 34, chapter 22 of Matthew, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees and the Pharisees, got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question: "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We've invited you. We ask you now to speak to us. Speak with power and authority and transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, this past week, I spent Monday through Wednesday in Lubbock with over 100 other United Methodist pastors in our conference, and they called it a clergy retreat, which sounds like, we're going to be like, sipping lemonade by the pool or something. But we worked till 8:30 Monday night, and I told somebody, I said, man, if this is a retreat, I don't know. I mean, we worked. I went home and went back to the hotel and was exhausted. But the topic of our time together was vision. In the presentation, this lady, the teacher that taught for the week, entitled hers, "Dream Like Jesus." That kind of catches your attention. Dream Like Jesus. And she began by asking us, what was Jesus' vision statement? You know, that's the thing now in corporate America and even in churches to have a vision statement, a mission statement, a purpose statement. And anybody got want to take a guess what she presented, and I believe this to be true, what Jesus' vision was? Love God's good. It's woven in throughout the gospel, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus' heart was for the kingdom of God to come. And so there's different ways that we kind of help to accomplish that and help to, it's really not even because his kingdom is here. It's a matter of proclaiming his kingdom. We at our church, entitled this sermon series, I'll get to in a second, this way, Wiley Methodist exists to ... Who can fill that in? Anybody, any brave person? Taylor? Say it. To love. Okay, that's good. You're on the right track. Love God. Love people. Okay, if you didn't, let's say that together one more time. Love God, love people, offer Christ. And we're going to talk these next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about that vision. You know, the thing about vision is, it's funny because people say, well, didn't you preach this sermon last year? It's like, guess what? You're going to hear it again, a variety of it, in a few months. Because the thing that God's Word says, without vision, the people what? Perish. We need vision. We need direction. Jesus was talking about the kingdom of God coming, and all of his parables, the kingdom of God is like this, it's like that, and so he's speaking about the kingdom. So vision must be cast, and it must be recast, and it must be recast, and it must be recast. If you've noticed right behind me out in the foyer, anybody notice that wall out there the last couple of years? Show that slide. If you haven't seen it, that's what the wall looks like. Wiley Methodist exists to love God, love people, offer Christ. So I begin a sermon series to dig down deeper in what does that actually mean. So the series is Wiley Methodist exists to, and today's message is love God. I want to ask a couple of questions that answer today, try to answer. And the first is, what does that mean? What does it mean to love God? And the second one is, how do we do it? If we want to do that and we know what it means, how do we do it? So first, we love God. To love God means he must be the foundation of everything. He must be the foundation of everything. Jesus was asked what the greatest, and it was a trick question. They were trying to trip him up to see if he would somehow contradict the Old Testament. When Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment was, he says, love the Lord your God. That's how he started out. Love God. Now, he goes on to say in verse 40, all the law and the prophets, meaning, and that's what how they referred to the Bible at that point, the writings, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments, also referring to love neighbor, which we will get to later. In other words, Jesus is saying everything hinges on this. Everything hinges on loving God. If we don't start there, loving God is foundational. If we don't start there, then we're just a social outreach program. That's what we are. We're just and there's lots of groups. You know, my dad was a member of the Lions Club, great organization. They do a lot. They pick up trash and they use money to send disabled children to camps, and they do a lot of great things, but it's a civic organization. It's not founded on the principle that God is God. Now, a few years, it's been a long time ago actually, probably about 25, 30 years ago, my in-laws lived in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and they were wanting to build a house in Broken Arrow. They did build a house in Broken Arrow. Several years after they constructed this home, Cheryl and I were up there. I don't even think we had the kids at that time. We're up there, and in the kitchen, this big separation had begun to happen, where they had like a linoleum floor, and that linoleum had raised and separated, and the gap was becoming increasingly bigger and wider over time. And my father-in-law went back to the builder and thought, well, hey, maybe he'll warranty this and figure out what's going on. And come to find out, it was the city code in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, 30 years ago, did not require rebar in the foundation. Yes, indeed. I couldn't believe it. I almost fell over when he told me that. And the builder said, well, the city code doesn't require rebar. I didn't put any rebar in your foundation. And my father-in-law said, I would have paid for the rebar. Just, you got to tell me these things. There was no rebar. And this house, I don't know, was around 2,500 square feet. So there was no repairing because the foundation was bad. All they could do is go in there and do some grinding and some filling and hope that it stayed together. They have since moved back to Abilene years ago, and who knows what the condition of that home is now. But the foundation, if the foundation is bad, the whole house is bad. God, loving God, Jesus says, loving God is foundational. Loving God is foundational. Even the Ten Commandments, if we look at the Ten Commandments, what you can find in Deuteronomy 5, the first four of the ten are talking about loving God. The first four of the ten. You shall have no other gods before me, God says. You shall not make for yourself an idol. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. You shall remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Loving God is foundational. Now, here's the trick. If we don't understand this first, the Scripture says we love because He first loved us. If we don't get that, then our attempts to love God become just this routines that we go through, trying to be good. We're trying to live up to this whole Christianity thing. I know because first 30 years of my life, that's pretty much the way I live my Christian life, trying to be good. We love because He first loved us. In October 1991, many of you have heard my testimony about this, but I went on an event called A Walk to Emmaus, and it was just, the Walk to Emmaus, let me just tell you, is a vehicle that God has used. It's nothing magical about the Walk to Emmaus. What is magical is the God that's involved in the Walk to Emmaus. So in October 1991, I went out to A Walk to Emmaus. I was around 31 years old, and I went out there to that camp. I was a believer. I believed in God. I went to church every Sunday. I taught Sunday school. I was not a pastor at the time, and yet I was on this journey trying to be good. I was trying to love God out of my own strength, out of my own. There's a word I'm trying to look for. It was a kind of a duty. I just felt like I was supposed to love God. That was what good Christian people did, and I was failing miserably. Had sin in my life. I was failing. I tell people I was the worst kind of Christian there is, because my life was not matching up with what I'd go to church and I'd proclaim to be a Christian. My life was not matching up with what I was professing out of my mouth. And the enemy, the devil, heaped shame on me because he knew that I was not walking out my faith. And I went out there that weekend, and I was deserving of God's, I've said this before, I was deserving of God's wrath, and I encountered His mercy. I understood how much God loved me. And suddenly that transformed everything. I understood that He loved me so much that He hung on a tree for me and for you. And I understood that, and suddenly this Christian life out of duty, trying to love God in my own strength, my own power. Suddenly I understood that I love God now because He loves me. He loves me. Me. As and somebody said it this morning. I think Trevor said it this morning. A wretch like me. God loves me. He must be the foundation of everything. Secondly, to love God means He must come first. He must come first. Now, we too many times, I think, in the Christian life, we have what I call a cafeteria theology. We pick the parts that we like. It's like I like the mashed potatoes, but I don't like the peas. So I'm gonna load up on the mashed potatoes. I like the chicken fried steak, but I don't like the broccoli. And so we go through this cafeteria line of theology, and we pick and choose. But God wants to be first in every component of our life, every piece of our life. God must come first. When Jesus, again, when He's asked, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. He must come first. He must come before our jobs. He must come before this church. He must come before our families. He must come before our finances, above our friendships, our hobbies, and you just fill in the gap, fill in the blank. He must come first. And the word says, seek first all these things, and then all these things, first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. So when God is on the throne of your life, everything else comes into alignment. Do we understand that? I see that. I see it all the time when God is not first over some component of our lives, in that area of our lives, and maybe more because it can kind of trickle down, that it's just a wreck. Jesus says that God wants us to fix our affections on Him, to put Him above all that we hold dear. Now, that doesn't mean, like when I say putting God above our families, it doesn't mean to neglect your families. Because if God is first, you're going to love your family like never before. Do we understand that? It's not this pecking order like put God up here and everybody else gets the trash. No, when you put God up here, everything else flourishes. Do we see that? Everything else flourishes. And one of the, I get kind of, not chewed out, but I kind of get ribbed a little bit because I don't preach more on money. I don't like preaching on money because I don't want you to think that that's all I want is your money. But I want you to understand that if God is not God of our finances are not going to flourish. It doesn't mean, there's lots of people that God isn't God of their finances. They make lots of money, but there won't be blessing on that. I some of the greatest times of my life and some of where God has been most faithful in my finances when I didn't have two nickels to rub together. He would step people into my life because sweet Cheryl and I long ago surrendered our finances to Him. In those when I was transitioning to the ministry, I mean, we literally didn't have two nickels to rub together. And God would bring people into our lives and go, the Lord laid it on my heart to give you this $500 check. And we later were able to return that favor to others. I was on a walk to Emmaus, and Cheryl and I were going through that transition of ministry, and I shared that they're like we're dead broke. I don't know what we're going to do. We can't pay our bills, but and we're trying to sell our house and it won't sell. But God has told me to go in the ministry, and we're charging ahead. And I shared that story, not thinking anything about it. The next day, they called me forward, and the people on the walk had gathered up money and just presented me this big old envelope of money. I mean, I went home. I didn't even know. I thought, this blessing is for Cheryl and I. I went home, and I opened up that money with Cheryl and I, and we just started counting the 20s and the 100s. And there was, as I recall, there was over $1,200 in that envelope. God, when you surrender areas of your life, when you put Him first, God takes care of you. He blesses you in those areas and you flourish. Thank God I have two nickels now, barely. I have two quarters that I rub together now. But God doesn't want you to neglect areas of your life. He wants them surrendered to Him. Put Him first. The first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God. And then thirdly, moving into the how do we do that? To love God, we worship and serve Him. And I would add in there, we surrender to Him. When Jesus was asked to teach us to pray, He started with this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. You are God. That's where that prayer starts. Hallowed be your name. You can't love someone, church, you don't know. You can't love someone you don't know. In Matthew 7, these are Jesus' words, and He's speaking about this serving Him versus having a relationship with Him. And He says, many will say to me on that day, He's speaking of the end time, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? And didn't we pass out turkeys at Thanksgiving? And didn't we build some houses for the poor? And didn't we do some shoe boxes? And didn't we do some angel trees for Christmas? Oh, that's not in there, but that maybe could have been. Didn't we do all these things for you, Lord? Then I will tell them plainly, Jesus says, I never knew you. You want to put God first. You understand how He feels about you, and you put Him first in your life. You build relationship with Him. So how do we know Him? We press into Him. And I don't know if that resonates with me. I don't know if it resonates with anybody else. Pressing in. If I wasn't so vain, I would have hearing aids. I'm getting harder. I mean, it's Cheryl's all the time. Like, what'd they say? I mean, I'm just going to put that on a recorder and just push the button. What'd they say? And so what I've had to do is, I mean, the room has to be pretty quiet. Anybody relating to you, especially you Bens? If there's luncheons, forget about it. If you're sitting across from the luncheon on a luncheon some Sunday morning and I'm going, I don't know a thing you're saying. Okay, I have no idea what you're saying. So what I've had to learn is I lean in. You press in. And God says that you will find Him with a still, small voice. You press in. You lean in. What was that, God? Sometimes we think God is not answering us. I've run into that in my life. When there was a period of time where I needed, God, I need answers here. I mean, I'm running out of time here. And what God sometimes wants us to do is lean in. Get everything quiet and lean in and listen to Him. Press into Him. Talk to Him. Prayer is a two-way conversation. We think prayer is what comes out of our mouth. Prayer is also involves these things. Listening in this thing, your heart, listening. It's amazing how sometimes I will, especially I do it a lot when I'm prepping for sermons, I'll play some worship songs that really draws me in the presence of God. And then it's amazing how it's like there'll be this roadblock, this just block of what I'm supposed to say, and I draw into His presence and I listen, and suddenly all these thoughts start coming in my mind. Hey, you could remember that story. That ties in with this. Hey, remember this scripture? And God begins to speak to me. So praying is not just talking, but it's also listening. Read His Word. Get in His Word. I say it all the time that we have to decide if God's spoken or if He hasn't. If He's spoken through His Word, then and we believe that, then it'd probably be fairly important to know what He has to say. So read His Word. Get in His Word. Don't trust me or others, or don't trust, you know, the evangelist on the tube to tell you what God is saying. Get in His Word. That's how you know Him. Worship Him with others. Come to worship. I tell people all the time, I really, and people probably think I'm just crazy, other pastors, but I tell people if Wiley Methodist is a place that you connect, then join our church. Join our church. Make covenant with us and let us make covenant with you. Let's do this thing together. If Wiley Methodist is not that place for you, then find that place for you. It's okay. It's okay. You have my blessing to go to another church and plug in, but engage. God has made us for covenant, and it's important. I hear people that don't go to church, one of the things that I'll hear is, well, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. No, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian, but you need to be with in the presence of God, in presence with His people, to be enriched, to draw near to Him, to be blessed and grow in Him. We need each other, church. We need each other. Worship God with others and finally serve Him. And the problem we need to watch out for is that that's the dilemma I was in, where we begin to think our service is our Christian walk. No, it's a response that somehow our service we think is earning us God's favor. No, we already have God's favor. The service is our response to a God who loves us. One of my favorite passages, John 21, where Jesus, the resurrected Jesus. You know, we know the story. Peter denies even knowing, you know, first he tells Jesus, he's like, if all the others fall away, not me, not me. You know, I don't know why I can relate to Peter. He's a knucklehead. But if all the others fall away, I won't. And then, oh, I don't know the man. I don't know that man. Oh, I don't know. Three times he denies even knowing Jesus. And then he hears 3 days later, Jesus has been seen. He's been resurrected. And you, I don't know, man, I'm just thinking like Peter, and I just really feel like Peter was kind of going, uh-oh, I mean, I'm in trouble. The last thing I said that Jesus heard me say was, I don't know the man. And he was expecting, perhaps like I was that weekend at Camp Buttman, he was expecting the wrath of God, and he received his mercy, and Jesus greeted him with peace be with you, and all the disciples who had deserted him. So Jesus is resurrected in John 21. He makes breakfast for the disciples. They've been out fishing. He brings them to the shore, and they're having breakfast, and they're sitting around, and he says those three times, kind of ironic, Peter denied Jesus three times. Three times he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he asks him three times, and each time Peter says, yes, Lord, I love you. And he responds, Jesus responds, feed my sheep. Now, it's interesting. We get the feeding the sheep part, but we forget the question. Jesus doesn't say, do you love my sheep? Hello, anybody out there? Is anybody listening? He doesn't say, do you love my sheep? He says, do you love me? Feed my sheep. It's a response to loving Him, which is a response to knowing how much He loves us, and then we feed sheep. You know, this September, just last month, was 5 years we lost my dad, and you know, I loved my dad, and he was a good dad, but I didn't have to work at loving my dad. And I know not everybody was blessed in that way to have an earthly father that was a good, godly man. But I did. I didn't have to work at loving Dad. I loved him because of the way he loved me. We understand that? My response was loving him because he loved me. I loved him because he demonstrated his love for me over and over. And I could tell you, if you want to listen to my boring stories, I could tell you over and over different ways he demonstrated that. I loved him because he provided for me and my family. He was always there. I loved him because he was just my dad. He was just my dad. It's the same way with Christ. We don't have to work at loving him. I love Jesus because I know Jesus loves me, and he loves you. And so, when we truly understand what God has done for us through Jesus Christ, He's so easy to love. He's so easy to love. And you just, I grieve as a pastor. I grieve when people, I'm missing people at church. I don't grieve it because our numbers are down. I don't grieve it because, you know, the bishop's going to think something's going on bad or what. I grieve it because, man, every Sunday, I don't know about you, I receive the love of Christ. And part of it is God is here. Part of it is through each of you. Just being in community, knowing what God has done for me through Jesus Christ makes him so easy to love. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. So as we seek to, I don't like calling it a mission or a vision. I like purpose. Wiley Methodist exists. Our whole purpose for living and being here and congregating together, coming together, is it begins with the foundational act of loving God because he loves us. Let's pray. Father, you are so good. The first and greatest commandment is to love our God. Father, show us how to do that. May we press into you. Give us a passion for you. Because we know you are passionate about us. Father, help us, help Wiley United Methodist Church, God, help us to put a smile on your face. Help us to be the church you've called us to be, God, and to not just be consumer Christians. Help us to be loving servants. We love you, and we trust you, and we thank you loved us first. In Jesus' name, amen.